I'd like to now turn to Fevzi Turklap, who is a gadget detective. And Fevzi, although we're talking at the highest level, we're talking about, you know, maybe state hacking here, and, you know, one of the richest people in the whole world, one of the most influential people in the whole world. This is happening to so many ordinary folk day in, day out. How are they doing it? When we hear that they're talking over WhatsApp and then a video message comes through that has malware, how do we know what is right and what is wrong? Good evening to you.
Evening. Well, so how it's normally done is a weakness or a vulnerability in the phone software is taken advantage of by a piece of software known as malware. So it takes advantage of that vulnerability, and it can.
And does it depend on what phone you have? In other words, would the hackers know if you were on an Apple or a Samsung, for instance?
Yeah, you can usually tell. I mean, for example, if you use Twitter, and when you tweet,
yes,
it actually identifies what software and device you're using in the tweets themselves. So it's not hard to work out what someone is using.
Okay.
There is an argument to say that Android phones can be more vulnerable, but none of them are invulnerable.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be too smug if you own an Apple phone, I guess. So in terms of does it matter, it's important, whichever phone you've got, to run the latest version of the operating system, because as well as new features, they will often be fixing some of the vulnerabilities I mentioned earlier. So if your phone doesn't have that vulnerability, then that vulnerability itself can't be taken advantage
of. Good bit of advice, my friend, because I'm the sort of person that I see an update, you know, on your phone, and you think, well, that's a big inconvenience. I don't want to do that.
And last time I did that, something happened. I'll avoid it.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly right. So that's a good tip, Fevzi. Thank you very much for that, first of all.
So beyond that, I would say, it sounds a bit controversial, but disable fingerprint recognition and face recognition from your phone.
Really?
Go back to a passcode.
Really?
Well, fingerprints can be faked, and some fingerprint readers are easier to fake than others, but fingerprints can be lifted off glasses and all sorts of things. Now, when you're thinking about these things, Eamon, you have to think about what is my threat profile. Am I an important person like Jeff Bezos, where someone's going to put a lot of resources into it? Or have I upset someone, and do I have my own personal stalker, for example? That could also put you at great risk. And that's one of the other things, by the way, because there's this thing called stalkerware, where typically partners who don't trust their partners,
yes,
put software on their partner's phone to track them. And one of the ways in which that's done is they wait till that partner is asleep and they touch their finger whilst asleep onto the surface of their phone.
You couldn't make it
up.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not suggesting people should mistrust their partners in any way at all. If you don't trust them, don't sleep with them, I would say. But you know, if you're asking me about safety, then disable that and go back to a passcode and make it a good one.
This is amazing. Fevzi, I'll tell you what I'd love to do if you could, my friend. I'd love to go to the news on the half hour and then come back and continue this conversation with you. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Because if you're listening, folks, I know this is probably raising questions in your head about your own vulnerability, your own security. Has your phone been hacked? Why would anybody want to hack you? Well, Fevzi will tell you how to avoid all of that. Very controversially, saying be careful about those fingerprints, be careful about that face recognition stuff that's going on there, and your Twitter account will tell so-called hackers what phone you're actually using. All that and more after the news update. Let's go to James Nish.
Drive with Eamon Holmes, weekday afternoons from 4 on Talk Radio.
Okay, so the accusation doing the rounds today is that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, has either hacked or used people to hack the phone of the billionaire Amazon boss Jeff Bezos, right? So be that as it may, between them, the Saudi Arabians are denying this has taken place. The theory is the Bezos people and American authorities said, yes, it has happened, and they're saying that malware came into the phone via WhatsApp, and we've got Fevzi Turklap, who knows about all of these gadget things, who is a gadget detective on all of this, and we're talking, Fevzi, about how this can be avoided. So the idea, a lot of people get in touch with us and they're saying, look, I'm getting strange messages, for instance, here's an example, somebody saying they're getting a message on WhatsApp from Instagram, saying on Instagram, they have an issue with my Instagram account. Click on this link and we will sort it out. And that has come to them via WhatsApp and a phone number connected, which says this is a business account. Does that sound credible or not? I'm really trying to get to the bottom of what's credible, what you click on and what's not. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so basically don't click on anything unless you're really sure where it's come from, because messages can be spoofed. What that means is they can appear to come from someone you know, whereas really they haven't come from that person at all. So you need to be really cautious about clicking on links and so forth. And I've even done it where I've actually, you know, I've gone back to the old-fashioned way. I've rung the person up and said, was this from you? Can I click it? Is it safe? You know, and that's not a nice way to live, to be honest. But if you're asking me, you know, should I click things, you know, in WhatsApp or elsewhere? No. In this case, it's alleged that the malware was hidden inside a video file. And that's quite possible to do. So the video could even play. It would appear to be normal, but it also triggers the installation of a piece of malware on your phone. But there are other ways. Sometimes we let the malware in ourselves. So we download apps. So we download apps either from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And particularly with Google, but not only with Google, Apple pre-vet the apps. Google do not. So Google will let the apps go up onto their Play Store and only really bring them down if a problem comes to their attention.
Well, you see, I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have thought if they're there available, it's like buying a product from a shop. I mean, you just assume it's okay. It's legitimate. Yeah.
So the advice with regards to apps and app stores is download only the apps that you really need. Don't download things just because they're free, because every app that you're putting on your phone is an additional risk. And sometimes, you know, you get a list of permissions. So when you download an app, it asks you, this app will need access to your GPS, your camera, your microphone, whatever it is. And sometimes those permissions are just inappropriate. So if it's a game, why do they need access to your contact list?
I ask myself that question all the time. Why do they need to know my location? Why do they need access to my photos and my messages? And you know, this is a nonsense.
So don't give it. And
but
that
then
means
if you don't give it, you don't get the app, my friend.
Exactly,
often.
Don't download the app. Exactly. And the other thing is, have a spring clean. Look at your phone this evening.
Yeah.
And if there are apps that you're not using, just uninstall them, because each of those apps is an attack vector. It's a risk to you and your security. So you need to do that. Also, avoid public Wi-Fi. Public Wi-Fi is very insecure. I could teach you in 5 minutes how to access the phone of the person in the same coffee shop as you, who's accessing the same Wi-Fi as you. I could give you access to all the contents of their phone very simply. Obviously, I'm not going to do that, but it's so simple. So number one, avoid public Wi-Fi. Try and use your own cell data if you can.
But lots of kids rely on that, don't they? They rely on public Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So if you must use public Wi-Fi for whatever reason, then use what's called a VPN. It's a piece of software called a virtual private network that helps protect you. It obfuscates you know, who you are.
VPN.
Yeah. And some phones have VPNs built into them. So have a look at the settings. You might already have one, but you need to enable it.
Queries coming in here all the time. And I think you've sort of answered this, which is just like pick up the phone. But Lewis in Milton Keynes says, for Christmas, I bought some jewellery online. Then they recently got in touch to say their website was hacked and it was best to get a new debit card. That seems like a lot of hassle. How seriously should I take this warning?
Well, you should take that seriously. I wouldn't necessarily reply to the email. Again, if you're going to contact them to see if that email came from that retailer, then find the details of that retailer independently and contact them. Or you can also speak to the Information Commissioner's office, because any hacks of that nature have to be reported to the ICO within a couple of days. So you could do that. The other thing is, and this is strange to say, but you know, people sometimes ask to use your phone either to make a call or play with it or whatever. Don't hand anyone your phone unless it's locked. If they want to use your phone to make a call because it's an emergency, dial the number lock it and then hand it to them. They can still steal your phone, but at least the data will be somewhat secure as well.
Firstly, what are hackers after? If they're hacking into your phone, if there's malware put on your phone by them, what do they want? Because you can imagine Jeff Bezos's phone is probably quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My phone, probably a lot less interesting, but what are they after?
You are interesting because you're in the public eye. So therefore, if you wrote, worked with Eamon Holmes today, sent somebody an Instagram message or said, you know, can't stand the sight of him or whatever it is, that's worth money, because it's worth money for you not to want it out there. It's worth money selling it to newspapers or whatever it happens to
be. But is that the sort of thing they're after?
So it depends. I mean, if you're a high value target, you may be what's called spear phished, which is what appears to have happened to Jeff Bezos, that someone who's going specifically after you is not a general attack, with hundreds of thousands of people involved. In terms of, in most of our cases, it is access to all the data on our phone. And what can that mean? That can mean the loss of money, because if, for example, they've got access to your phone and they can install their own software, they can install something called a keystroke logger. That's every tap that you make. So all your passwords are up. They can get access to your email address.
Yeah.
If they've got access to your email, that's the keys to the kingdom, because then they will run that email past every bank and every retailer like Amazon and every bank and every building society, all the rest of it, and they will just, you know, that button that you say where you say, I've forgotten my password, can you send it to me again or send me a reset code? But mm-hmm. Now they send a reset code to an email address that they're monitoring, so they can lock you out of all your accounts, they can steal your money, they can steal your identity. You know, how much worse do we need it to be? We don't need to be rich, famous or important to suffer greatly by this.
Well, there you go. I don't know if there's a conclusion or if there's anything that you can say there. I think in general what I have learnt is if I don't recognise the email, I'm much more suspicious. If it's asking me for too much information, even though, as Jackie was saying, it looks like it's from your bank, there's no reason to suspect, but you think if the bank really wanted to be in touch with me, they would phone me directly. And you think, let them all wait. We all panic and we all think, I've got to reply to this now. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I had one from my bank a couple of weeks ago, and I rang them and said, is this actually from you? And they said, yes, it's actually from us. But you're looking at it. It could have been fake.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It could have been fake.
And so it's getting harder to tell.
It is getting harder to tell. Is there anything just in conclusion that you would say to people?
Okay. So don't become paranoid about this. Take sensible precautions. It's like real life. You know, if we thought about all the things that could happen to us, we'd never leave our homes. But you take the sensible precautions that I've outlined to you. If something smells wrong to you, if your spidey sense tingles, then you're probably right about it. You shouldn't, you know. And if someone's trying to put you under pressure, you know, time pressure or other sort of pressure to act quickly and perhaps unwisely, then that's a good indication that something's wrong as well. So someone rings you up and says, we're ringing from your bank. Someone's compromised your account. We need to move the money out quickly.
Broken English always makes me suspicious. Daniel, member of team, you know, words missing and things, and you think, that somebody, this was professional, this would all make
perfect
sense.
They're getting better. Not all of them are from sort of Indian call centers from people called Robert. You know, some of these are increasingly difficult to spot, and it just means we have to take a precautionary approach.
Top man, Fevzi Turklap there, a gadget detective. Thanks for your time, mate. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much indeed. Very good.